coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We got a great show for you today. Folks, I know that you're going to love it. We have got Colonel Denny Gillum, retired Army Ranger and host of Front Lines of Freedom, the largest military talk show in the country, on over 150 stations nationwide. We will be interviewing Denny, a.k.a. Colonel Gillum, in segments two and segment three. So that's going to be a good time. We're going to talk all about Denny. Denny is a good friend of mine. I'm his co-host on Front Lines of Freedom. And we don't get to talk to each other a whole lot outside of the studio. So this will be kind of nice. We'll learn all about his military career. We will learn about, how he protects his home from bad guys. So it's going to be a really good time. Looking forward to that. Now, what's been going on in the Coriel life? My blueberry bushes, they died. You know, I didn't know you had to water them. Remember a few months back, we had Rick Veist, the new author of the book, I Just Wet My Plants. In the book, he says, if you haven't killed any plants lately, you're just not trying hard enough. And apparently, I'm trying hard enough because I killed all four of those blueberry bushes. And I $200 worth of blueberry plants, just dead as a doorknob. I regret that. I repent. Apparently, during a drought, you have to water. But that did motivate me to go out and water my garden. My tomato plants are still almost armpit high. The zucchini is like the zucchini plant that ate New York City. It's just huge. And I think tomorrow we'll be harvesting our very first zucchini from that. And I'm going to stir-fry that bad boy up and chow it down. I'm thinking maybe I'll get some of those morel mushrooms that I put in the freezer. You remember in May, I just got all kinds of morel mushrooms. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll put in some morel mushrooms, some onions, a little bit of garlic, zucchini, and then I'll put in maybe some venison burger or some beef burger. You know, just stir fry that all up. And then I'll just eat the whole thing just for fun. It's good for me, and it tastes good. Tastes great, and it's more filling. That's what I like. Okay, what else we got going? Been doing some snorkeling with my 12-year-old son, Cedar. Oh, I got to tell you this story. Geez, two nights ago, I'm in bed. It's like almost 1 a.m. We got to bed late. We stayed up real late watching The Ten Commandments, the Charlton Heston version, which I just love, you know, the Cecil B. DeMille version of it. And I'm laying there in bed. Sarah didn't come in yet. She was in talking to Cedar about something. And boy, I'm almost asleep. And she lays down next to me. And I could tell something was wrong. You know, men, you can relate to me. You can always tell when something's bothering your wife, because she's just not her normal, bubbly, happy self. And even though it was dark, my spider sense said, something's wrong. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, Cedar just told me that he wants to go to the Naval Academy, get an officer's commission. And I said, Yeah, we talked about that earlier today. She said, I am so mad at you. I said, why? Because I don't want my son to die. And I said, honey, I don't think we've had a major U.S. naval boat sink, since World War II. I go, well, what's the problem here? She says, well, I don't want him going off to some unholy war, some brush fire, you know, on the other side of the world. And I said, honey, can we talk about this in the morning when I'm awake? And, oh, she didn't like that. But anyways, we got a decent night's sleep. Woke up the next morning, and, you know, we talked it out. And I said, honey, listen, you know, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps. I have always viewed it as an honorable thing to serve in the United States military. And oddly enough, she always had, too. She was always proud of my military service. You know, during, like, over, you know, on Veterans Day at church when they asked the veterans to stand. You know, she was always so proud of me when I did that. But she was just terrified of her little 12-year-old son dying in a war. And, you know, I had given some thought to that as well. And I just shared with her. I said, honey, you know, when Cedar and I talked about that, I told him, I said, son, I will support you going into the military on two conditions. One, stay out of the Army and the Marine Corps. Why? Simply because those are the guys, that's the tip of the spear right there. As far as frontline battle, those are the boots on the ground. And I really don't want my son being boots on the ground. I said, you want to go in there? You know, you're an incredibly smart kid. You're high tech. Go into the Navy or the Air Force. They can best utilize your talents. Second, you get your college degree before you go into the military. Because I was in the Marine Corps, you know, as an E-1, a private. And, you know what privates do in the Marine Corps? Yeah, they clean the head. That's what the Navy and the Marine Corps called the toilet or the latrine. They clean the head. You know, they wash Jeeps. They pick up cigarette butts. They do all kinds of, you know, important things that are crucial to our national security. You know, especially when I was in, like, 1975 to 1981, the Jimmy Carter years, there was no wars going on. So we did important things like, you know, policing up the area and spit shining boots and cleaning windows and you name it. Anyways, so we finally got it all talked out, and she says, well, okay, I guess it's not so bad as I thought. So my 12-year-old son, he is working towards getting a nomination and being accepted to the United States Naval Academy, and he's only 12 years old. And you know, one thing that I've noticed that the people who succeed in life, they tend to be people who knew early in their life, in their childhood, what they wanted to do for the rest of their life. And so I'm excited for my 12-year-old son, Cedar. I hope he holds on to this dream of his, and that he does end up being an admiral or you know, whatever he wants to do in life, I support him, provided that it's honorable, it's got dignity, and that it serves God and his fellow man. So, rock and roll for that one, huh? All right, let's get into some news. We got a little bit of time for news here. Oh, here's one that I found interesting. I went to bearingarms.com, one of my favorite places. The headline reads, Florida girl saved from alligator by a shot from an AR-15, those evil black guns, saved a 15-year-old girl's life. Anti-gun zealots like to say that there's no reason to use an AR-15 or similar rifle. They claim there's no use for it in civilian hands, that they're weapons of war that are only good for killing human beings. Apparently that's not true. Well, I'd love for someone to tell that to a Florida girl and her family after what sounds like the most Florida thing humanly possible. With a single shot from his AR-15 rifle, a Lake County deputy sheriff quickly put an end to a large alligator that had a teenage girl trapped in a tree for nearly an hour. Jordan Broderick, 15, was eventually able to climb safely down from the tree, according to a sheriff's report. Just after 3 p.m. Friday, the sheriff's office received calls from Michael Henderson of Titusville and other family members saying that his daughter couldn't come down from a tree near a boat ramp because a 10-foot alligator sat at the base of the tree hissing at her for more than 30 minutes. My daughter's stuck in a frickin' tree, and there's gators surrounding her. The teenager's mother said frantically to a 911 operator, "Oh my God, please hurry, please hurry." You know what? I mean, I might have said something like that too, but you know, I wouldn't even dial 911 on that. You know, if my kids were up in a tree and there's a 10-foot alligator underneath it, hey, if I got to go in there with a machete or a jackknife, I'm going to do it. But for me, you know what? I probably would have used either my AR-15 or my 12-gauge shotgun with slugs. I think a 12-gauge shotgun with slug, you know, would have been pretty good. I mean, you could easily get to, you know, 30 yards away from that thing and just put a big old 12-gauge hole in the side of that gator's head. And then if you don't call the cops, then you can skin it out and use the meat. But I guess the tail, like the last third of the alligator, is the best part. Though I've never had gator, I really would like to have some. We don't see a lot of gators. We don't see any gators around here up in Michigan. Okay. Oh, in the news this past week, what's been up? Judge Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump's recent nominee to the Supreme Court. I didn't know anything about him until he was nominated. And then all of a sudden, you know, we know everything about Judge Kavanaugh now. You know, my first thought was, you know, how's he feel about the Second Amendment? So here we've got a headline, bearingarms.com, says GOA, that's Gun Owners of America, statement on Kavanaugh nomination. What does Gun Owners of America think about that? And when GOA talks, I listen because I know Larry Pratt personally. I know he's a sharp guy. We have a lot in common, and I believe what he tells me. So it didn't matter who President Trump nominated. Someone was going to be outraged. However, Judge Brett Kavanaugh doesn't sound like too bad of a pick right now, all things considered, especially for the pro-Second Amendment crowd. It seems Gun Owners of America agrees. Here's a statement put out. Eric Pratt, I believe that's Larry's son. Executive Director of GOA issued the following statement on President Donald Trump's nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. GOA is optimistic that Judge Brett Kavanaugh will be a huge improvement over the retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy on many constitutional issues, including the Second Amendment. He's got that right. Initial reports suggest that Judge Kavanaugh deeply respects the Second Amendment, even though he was not the strongest of the finalists. Nevertheless, Judge Kavanaugh filed a pro-gun dissent in Heller 2, arguing that Washington, D.C.'s ban on semi-automatic firearms was arbitrary and lawful. Arbitrary and unlawful. That's a big difference. In fact, his dissent was so well argued that GOA's subsequent legal briefs have repeatedly held up his dissent as the model to follow. In another case, Kavanaugh correctly interpreted the Firearm Owners Protection Act to find that a defendant could not be sentenced to 30 years in prison for use of a fully automatic firearm if he was unaware that the gun fired automatically. That turned out to be a big deal to a couple of people because, you know, sometimes a semi-automatic carbine will malfunction, or even I've heard cases where Glocks have done that. The sear malfunctions and, you know, doesn't engage properly, and they press the trigger, and all of a sudden, you know, 15 rounds are gone. They get reported, and the ATF comes in and arrests them and just totally ruins their life. So that's certainly... I've heard of that happening, so I'm glad he's on board with that. GOA hopes that the Senate will confirm Kavanaugh and that the Supreme Court will take up more Second Amendment cases, thus repealing the onerous and unconstitutional restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms that exist throughout the country. And I could not agree more. Now that we have a 6-3 majority, or will have a 6-3 majority, we have some margin for error there. I would love to have a lot more Second Amendment cases come before the Supreme Court, and we can, you know, get the job done and take back some of the freedom that we lost in the Obama years and even before that. So, hey, bring it on. All right, folks. Well, hey, we are about out of time for this segment. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Colonel Denny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the largest military talk show in the country. Okay, we got a 2-minute break now. While we are away, I want you to head on out to Amazon.com and do a search on Skip Coryell, that's C-O-R-Y-E-L-L, and check out my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book. And while you're at it, check out The God Virus. That is an awesome book as well. I've been working hard on The Blind Man's Rage. I want to get that out by this fall. And boy, I got to tell you, Uncle Rodney is going to kick some blind man butt this fall. And I am excited about that. Okay, also check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and elitefirearms.us. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum. This is Skip Coryell on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coryell. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coryell. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coryell from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coryell, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coryell. We are speaking with my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum, retired Army Ranger. Denny, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, Skip, glad to be joining you. This is fun.
Yeah. Hey, and we're just getting started. Denny, you know, most of my experience with you has been, it started out on the soccer field. You and I were
indeed
in the trenches together. It was a different kind of combat, but, you know, instead of using deadly force, we used red cards and yellow cards.
And the coaches and the players used other words.
And that's right. That's right. They did. Yeah, they called them challenge commands. But we had a good time there. And, boy, that's how we got to know each other. And then after that, I would go on your show from time to time. And, boy, lo and behold, eventually... you needed a co-host, and I was there, and I'm very honored. I think it's been about 3 years now that I've been on the show, and I look forward to Wednesdays doing the show with you, and it's just a great, great time. Denny, I've had you on the show before, but I've gotten a lot of new listeners since then. So can you start out, spend a few minutes talking about, you know, all things Denny Gillum. Who the flying lip lock are you anyways?
Well, as you mentioned, we started off getting to know each other as soccer refs. Then we found out that neither one of us were afraid of firearms. Do you remember that? We actually
yes.
found out we were both interested in firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of did a few things together that way. Not surprisingly, I guess, I am a retired Army guy. I went to West Point, graduated in 1964, which is a long time ago. Went in the infantry, airborne ranger, all that good stuff. It's something I just always wanted to do. I come from a long line of draft dodgers. I'm the first person in my direct line to ever serve in the military, as far as we know. On the other hand, most of my relatives were cops, so therefore I can call them names. So they can call me back. I spent 2 years in Vietnam as an infantryman, saw an awful lot of combat, and came back with a lot of decorations. As a result of that, I got promoted fast to... and had some really good jobs. The best job I ever had was being a rifle company commander in the 101st Airborne Division. That was as a young captain. That was my first visit to the state of Michigan. I came then. We came to the Detroit riots in 1967. From there, we went to Vietnam when they deployed the whole division in time for the fighting in Tet 68. So I did a bunch of that kind of stuff. After that, graduate school and other kind of schooling, spent 3 years in Germany with a mechanized infantry battalion. This is during the Cold War when we were ready to fight the Soviets coming across the Iron Curtain. We didn't, but that's what we were there for to do. Enjoyed being in Germany. I spoke a little German. That was fun. My wife really wanted someplace warm, and we got Tampa, Florida. So to say that I had a happy wife is an understatement. at MacDill Air Force Base was a headquarters called U.S. Readiness Command, which basically handled deployments of forces all over the place and a lot of forces inside the United States. It's not there anymore. It's been replaced by both U.S. Central Command and U.S. Special Operations Command. But while we were there, I was the Mideast war planner for 4 years. And the Mideast was hot and heating more, not quite as bad as it is now, but it was pretty exciting when the Shah was overthrown and the radicals took over Iran. One of the first things they did was capture the U.S. embassy. Our Pentagon put together a rescue attempt. My headquarters should be the one that did that, but they didn't even tell us they were doing it. And they went over and did a rescue attempt, which didn't work. And I was the Mideast war planner during that period. And when my boss found out about what had happened, and he learned about it on the news, things got real busy for a while.
Yeah, something hit the fan, I bet.
You bet it did. I saw all kinds of interesting political activities and things like that. Mm-hmm. From there, I became the head of the Army ROTC department at the University of Tampa, which was sort of cool. I didn't have to move, and I got to stay in a place that my wife liked. And from there, it was time for me to move on, and they sent me to Michigan. I really did not want to go to Michigan. I mean, I'd only been there once before, the Detroit riots. But another Army did say, pretty please. They said,
yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
So my family's one of the very few that moves north on I-75.
Right.
But we found ourselves in West Michigan, and we found, one, that West Michigan is very different than Detroit. And even Detroit wasn't like Detroit was then. And we found that the West Michigan culture was something we really liked, and we fell in love with the seasons, because there aren't any of those in Tampa.
Right.
So after a year or so, we decided that we didn't want to leave, so I retired from the Army to stay here. But I loved my time in the Army. I was ready to get out. It was time for me to start pulling Pentagon and those kind of tours, and that just isn't what I wanted to do. I want to spend more time with my family. So it was time for me to get out. I loved the time I was in the military. It was great. I still have lots of ties, but it was time for me to do something else. So I did. I went and became a darn civilian and got active politically and supporting veterans kinds of things. Learned about sales. My first job out was as a sales engineer. And when I was being interviewed by the president of the company about handling sales, because that wasn't exactly my long suit, his big question was, how will you handle when somebody tells you no, when they don't agree with you? And my question was, can they shoot at me? He said no, and I said, I can handle it. And we had a big laugh, and I got the job.
There you go. Well, I'm glad that you stayed in Michigan, or otherwise we would have never met. You know, I love the Michigan seasons too. I mean, you've got deer hunting season, you've got turkey season, you got fishing season. All those seasons are just wonderful. Denny, boy, you've got such a colorful, you know, military career. I mean, I'm looking on your website here, and you know, when I first met you, obviously, you know, I was a Marine Corps veteran, and you know, it really interested me, but I didn't really know the depth of everything that you've been through in the Army until I got to know you better, and then, you know, we were doing the show. But boy, you know, I look at all the awards that you've received. I mean, Silver Star, Distinguished Flying Cross. You know, how does a grunt get a Distinguished Flying Cross?
You know, that's a great question. It is one of the funnier stories I can tell.
Okay.
After being a rifle platoon leader for 6 months in combat, for whatever reason, because I don't come from a military family, nobody would know me, I was asked to be the aide to a new general just coming into the division, a one-star general. Well, it turns out that a captain who knew me was there, and the new general said, I want a lieutenant who's been a platoon leader for 6 months, and I'd like a West Pointer. The captain knew one who was 6 months in. You know. So I got called up and got hired on the spot. And this general had been a hero in World War II, had missed the Korean War because he was in the Pentagon, mm-hmm. and wasn't going to miss this war. And he and I, and we had our own helicopter, a Huey pilot, co-pilot, and 2 door gunners. We were out virtually every day. If there was combat, we were around it. If there wasn't combat, we were out looking for it. On one occasion, there was no combat going on, but it was along the border with Cambodia. And there was a river that was the border, which is very common in that area. And he decided we were going to fly along the river. Well, I didn't get a vote, so we're flying down the river. We flew down 4 or 5 miles, and suddenly there are trees along both sides of the river. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we fly down the river, and all of a sudden the trees are meeting over the river. We are down in a tunnel.
Yeah.
And about that time, there are bad guys on both sides of the river who are shooting at us.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'd be waving or, apples or something? No, they're shooting at us. So I had two real options. I could suck my thumb and lay on the floor of the helicopter, or I could shoot back.
Yeah.
I always was armed with rifle and pistol. So it seemed like 5.5 hours, but it was probably 10 minutes. We flew down that thing shooting, and God bless those pilots. I don't know how they kept that bird in the air. We got out safely with a lot of holes in the helicopter. Two, we had found a very significant enemy unit that we had no clue was there.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, it got a lot of profile. And the net result was we were all given the Distinguished Lion Cross for valor for digging them out. Well, personally, I felt the general might have got it because he made the decision, or maybe the pilots because they flew it. I didn't have any choice. I couldn't get out.
Well, that's the case a lot of the times when you're in the military. You know, they tell you to jump. You ask how high on the way up, and that's the situation that you were in. So you responded in accordance with your training. And hey, it takes bravery not to wet your pants while all that's happening. I'm assuming, Colonel, you didn't wet your pants, did you?
Let's just say I don't remember that.
Okay. All right.
But I don't think so. But again, in one respect, it seemed like it lasted for 10 years. In another respect, it was over in a microsecond.
Yeah.
And the only thing I do remember that I was I didn't have any more ammunition. But my biggest concern was, this bird going to fly?
Yeah.
Because you can hear the rounds hitting the side and everything else. And mm-hmm. God bless that motor. It just kept cranking along. But that was an exciting time. I wasn't going to tell them, no, don't give me an award.
Well, that was probably your only opportunity to get a Distinguished Flying Cross.
It was. I spent a lot of time flying, and I have the hemorrhoids to prove it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the only time we were under fire, but it was the only other time we were under a lot of fire for an extended period of time. And that was probably the closest thing I ever came to air combat of any kind.
Yeah.
I shot out the door a couple of times, but that isn't something I saw any point in doing, because you don't know about shooting to know that when you're in the air moving, using a rifle at something on the ground, yes, you will hit the ground for sure, but nothing else is for sure.
But you know what? Regardless of where the rounds go, but it sure is a heck of a lot of fun to shoot out of a moving helicopter.
Oh, it is. Unless you're being shot back at.
Yeah.
That
changes
the rule.
Hey, we lost a lot of Hueys over there in Vietnam and in that area. So it could have easily been you. Could have been you, Colonel. I'm glad it wasn't.
When I was within a couple of weeks of being at the end of my tour and the general wasn't going home yet, mm-hmm. it was my job to find him a replacement aide, which I did. And he accepted the guy. And then for several days, we'd fly together because I ran the radio and the helicopter and that sort of thing. And I showed him, and then he did it while I watched him. And the day that I told the general, hey, the new guy, whatever, I don't remember his name was, I don't remember, he doesn't need me anymore. Boss, do you want me to fly along with him or not? And he said, nah, Danny, stay home. That day, a bullet went through the seat. I would have been flying.
Oh, gosh.
I would have been sitting next to my replacement. So they called me over the helicopter and they landed and showed me this big hole in the seat where I would have been sitting. And I was glad that I could learn about it that way as opposed to some other way.
Yeah.
So I didn't need to learn the other way. But anyway, there were all kinds of things that went on that a general didn't know how to say no, and he was forever out doing stuff. But I learned.
Yeah.
The coolest thing I ever did as an aide was the general wanted me there because I had been a rifle platoon leader in combat for 6 months in the area that he was being a general. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he took me everywhere. And at each day, not every day, but almost every day, we'd go into his tent or his quarters, whatever he was in, at the end of the day, and he'd debrief me. What do you think about this? Why did you do this? If you, you know, it was really made me feel important. I mean, here I am, a young, very young lieutenant, and this general is sucking up. But it was obvious. He needed to know what I knew. I loved it. On this one occasion, the division was doing this big move the next day, and I was there, of course, and we came back to his tent, and he debriefed me and said, what do you think when they said this and this and this? And I said, General, it was clear to me none of those guys had been in the jungle. What they were talking about is a good idea, but it won't work.
Yeah.
And the general said, exactly. That's why I said, bum, 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 bum. And I said, General, it was clear to me you had never been in the jungle. Well, that was the end of my consultant role.
Yeah.
He never asked me for my opinion again.
Danny.
From that day on, I got my butt chewed every day. You know, if I brought cigarettes, I got chewed. If I didn't bring cigarettes, I got chewed. He smoked a lot.
Yeah.
On the other hand, 2 days later, he ditched me. Now, you don't have to ditch an aide. You say, sit, stay. And he got himself inserted into the jungle with a rifle company and stayed there a day and a half. So, but that's the only time I ever nailed a general. And I guess I got away with it.
Yeah, and you probably learned, maybe I should have done it a little differently.
Yeah, I thought it through a number of times since then. What could I have said that made the point? Because he did get the point.
Yeah, well, you know.
But the point of his boot.
I'm firmly convinced that if you had stayed in the Army, you're smart enough, you're brave enough, you would have ended up getting your star. I really think that you would have. Do you have any regrets about getting out?
Oh, a little bit. You know, you always go back and look at, gee, if I just done this, I could have done that. I was eligible for command. I declined because I was going to get out, and I didn't want to get in the way of somebody who was going to stay in, who could use the experience and war college and stuff like that. And so I knew I was competitive. Yes and no. You can go back and forth on that a lot. But no, I don't have any major regrets. I think I made the right choice at the right time. I'm much better at the doer level than I am at the way, way high level, making strategic decisions and writing out micro plans for the decision makers. I'm sure I could have done a good job, but I wouldn't have enjoyed it because I enjoyed the jobs I did have.
Well, hey.
I love Mother Army, but I'm glad I got out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a lot of the things that you do in the military, you know, you go ahead and you do them and you go, you know, I'm really glad I did that, but I'm equally glad that I'll never have to do it again. You know,
it was once said that about West Point that I wouldn't trade the experience for $1 million or do it again for $2 million.
Yeah, that's right. That sounds about right to me. Oh, hey, Denny, we're out of time for segment one. We've gone over, but it was worth it. So some good stories, good talk. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, the world today. We're facing a lot of threats, and I want to talk about, what would Denny Gillum do if he were a five-star general and he could decide how we would protect America? So stay right where you are. Folks, check out our sponsors. We've got a two-minute break here. Check out firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. See what they can do to help you out if you ever get wrapped around that criminal justice axle. And then go to elitefirearms.us and see if Larry Jackson can help you choose the right firearm to protect you and your family. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. I am speaking with my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum, retired Army Ranger. Denny, boy, that last segment, that was fantastic. That was all good stuff and interesting as well, and I'm sure the listeners enjoyed that. I would like to fast forward to today now. Your military career is in the history books, but now you were a war planner at one time. You know, so you know quite a bit about that. I know you also teach civics at the college level. Talk to us about the state that the world is in right now, the United States of America. We're facing a lot of threats. Talk about, you know, who should we be worried about right now?
That's a great question, and this is a great day to ask that question. I would say that one of our real threats, which maybe is not so big a threat right now, is NATO. You know, when Germany sends people on maneuvers with sticks instead of machine guns, and they are the biggest, richest country in Europe, and with the largest so-called military, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
But it appears that our president has jacked them up, and it appears that they are going to do something. But it doesn't sound, in my opinion, something isn't adequate when you look at the threat of Russia, which is real.
Yeah.
Russia's a real threat. They have always wanted to be. They claim they are. I got a kick out of the fact that our president pointed out that Germany's buying petroleum products from Russia in huge amounts, which they need, mm-hmm. and which Russia needs to sell. But it's really hard to declare a war on somebody who provides the energy for your country.
Right.
So there is a huge issue there. Russia's got a huge, a very big military, and a big part of them are located in Scandinavia, the Baltic area. And I would not be surprised if sometime in the next year or two or three, if Russia didn't push into one of the Scandinavian countries, maybe Finland, I don't know. I don't have a bet on where, but they are acting like they're in empire growth mode.
Yeah.
They're acting like a, you know, so that's going to be a problem, and NATO is going to have to deal with it, and NATO ain't ready to. There's a chance that because of the way Trump is treating them like he should treat them, calling them out for not doing their job, maybe they'll be ready enough or even getting ready enough to deter Russia from making the move. I don't think so, but at least there's a better chance today than there was last week.
Yeah, well, at the very least, maybe Germany could actually buy some real guns.
Yeah. You know, now you're getting pretty radical there.
Yeah, I know.
Skip, guns are not politically correct, you know.
I know. Boy, and when you put ammo in those guns, oh, it's even worse.
Oh, my goodness. But think how much safer it would be if everybody just had sticks.
That's right.
Come on, guy.
That's right.
I'm all in favor of that, except but not for me.
Right.
I'm keeping mine. So Russia is a threat, and more than just being a military threat, they are financing and supporting people that are hostile to the United States all over the world. They see themselves as a superpower. That's what superpowers do, advance their own interests. So it's not surprising that that country is advancing its own interests, just like our country is advancing its own interests. Mm-hmm. It's just that their interests are dictatorships and oppressing people so that they can have power. Ours are not quite like that. So Russia's a big problem. In that same geographical area, Iran, they are probably the most dangerous country in the world from the point of view that they've got power, and they clearly hate and want to kill people, because they make it clear they want Israel wiped off the map.
Yeah.
They refer to the United States as the great Satan and Israel as the little Satan. That sort of suggests a hostile attitude, would you say?
I would think so, yeah.
So they are doing everything they can to kill people, cause war, support terrorism, you name it. Certainly what I call radical Islam, which is Muslims who believe in Sharia law and who want to see it imposed anywhere, certainly not in the United States, but not all of them are willing to kill people. All of them are willing to support people who will kill people.
Mm-hmm.
They are a huge danger, and those are the exact people that Iran is supporting all kinds of ways. Add to that the fact that Iran has, since we, the United States, are pushing our European allies to discontinue buying oil products from Iran. And Iran has responded by saying they will close the Straits of Hormuz if they do that. And I think the Straits of Hormuz take about 33% or something of all the shipborne petroleum movement in the world. That will be a challenge, and we're going to have to face them off. That could be a mini war right there, and we better be ready for it. Iran certainly stands right up there as a major threat to world peace. They are supported by Russia lots of different ways. That doesn't mean they're allies, but it does mean they work together on same kind of things.
Right.
Both of them are working together in Syria right now, for example. Then there's China. China is clearly an empire growth mode. They're building islands in the South China Sea. They're building their military. They are aggressive, assertive. Their government, which was a little less dictatorial several years ago, in the last year or so, has become very, very dictatorial. Very much a center of power in the central government, the people in the center. So China is a real risk. One of the things most people don't know about China is that, as you know, for many, many years they had a one-child-per-family birth policy to hold birth rates down. Well, that's come to bite them. They are now at the point where they're doing okay manpower-wise, but the next generation won't. And so they've got money, they've got development, they've got military, they've got, we're building new aircraft carriers and stuff like that. But there's a people issue that is starting to be felt, and each year will be felt even more over there. So China is going to be definitely a problem that we're going to have to face militarily. The good thing is that in each of these cases, our President Trump, is not playing nice. Previous presidents, Republicans and Democrats, have played nice. Oh, we'll be nice to you. Oh, you're a good, we know you have a good heart. We're going to do this. And please stop doing this, or please start doing that. No. Trump is saying, no, this won't work. No. We're not going to play anymore. NATO, we're not going to keep funding everything. You guys have to defend yourselves. China, we're not going to support this. You can't be part of this unless you start doing this. And they understand that. That's good business. It's good government. It's good everything. It appears to be working. Nothing works perfectly all the time ever, but we have a better chance with that. And I guess China's baby brother, or whatever you want to call him, North Korea, hard to tell what's happening there. It is my opinion that the North Koreans are in the process of getting their act together politically so that they can cooperate with the United States and South Korea like they said they would. Yes, there are indications that things aren't going well, but then again, there's a lot of people in power there. Moon has got official all the power. Actually, he doesn't. Nobody has all the power. And getting all your people in line and getting things lined up takes time, particularly even in a dictatorship. So it is my impression, and I don't have any guarantees on this, that we're going to see North Korea denuclearize as they promised. And it's not surprising me that it's going to take a while because that kind of transition.
Yeah, Colonel, that reminds me of a quote from Forrest Gump. You ever watch Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, one of his sayings was, "Hey, one less thing." So, hey, North Korea, you know, disarms their nuclear fleet. That's one less thing that we have to worry about. You know, I was thinking while you were talking about Iran, the thing with Russia and China, it seems like there's a nuclear deterrent there. We can both destroy each other. With Iran,
yes.
I think it might be different because, number one, these people might be a little bit batty up in their heads, and they're so fanatical. I don't think they have a nuclear capability right now, simply because if they had it, I think they, as soon as they get it, I think they're going to use it. And I was wondering about your opinion on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe they can have one. I think they're not doing it for internal reasons because they don't need to. But I am absolutely convinced that if they decided to, within a couple of months, they would have a nuclear weapon. And I agree with you that once they got one or two, they'd use it probably on Israel.
Yeah.
So, yes, and the fact that they don't mind dying, that's an attitude that we're most of the world is not used to dealing with. So, yeah, that makes them a loose cannon by most logical thinking. They are a loose cannon.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like America has just an incredible challenge. I mean, we went through 8 years of Obama where our military just went to hell in a handbasket. I mean, couldn't even get spare parts, couldn't keep planes flying, things of that nature. And now, similar to the Jimmy Carter years, I remember the Jimmy Carter years. I was in the service at that time, and it was just bad. And you know, it's the same kind of a deal. What does America have to do to prepare for a war, not just against China? I mean, my nightmare is, well, what happens if we have to fight China and Russia and Iran all at the same time? How can we defend against a threat like that?
Seriously, good question. And I don't have the answer. we're not prepared to fight multiple wars. At one time, we were prepared for a twofer. We're way under that now. What we have to do is, and what I think we're doing, is we're trying to make it clear that we couldn't stop three of you, but you don't want to be the first one.
Right. Okay.
Because we can stop you.
Yeah. So,
and,
yeah,
and as you know, as you noted, the nuclear deterrent helps at least with two of the three.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. You know, another thing that concerns me is American culture in general. When I look at the millennials and I look at their culture, I look at, they just seem different than when you and I were kids. I mean, I grew up on John Wayne, you know, and it's like that warrior mentality was built in to you just by virtue of growing up in America. Now it seems like we're just raising a bunch of snowflakes, and the military is having trouble finding enough qualified candidates. How is that going to impact us?
Huge. You know, at some point we're going to have to tell people that we don't care what you think your rights are. Your country needs you. And you're going to do what we tell you, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
And it's party time. I hope it's not war that causes that to happen, but our country sure needs that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you grow up sitting in front of the television or in front of the computer screen, you know, playing, you know, Call of Duty, that's different than actually getting out of the Lazy Boy recliner, putting down the Mountain Dew, and going out and running 10 miles up and down a hill while carrying a backpack, you know, and an M4 carbine. And I'm concerned about stuff like that because it's like half of our population is obese. I just wondered, I would not want to have to fight a war right now. I'd want 4 or 5 years of recovery and preparation, because we have to change the whole culture, I think. But, you know, Denny,
I wish you were wrong.
Yeah, me too. We're about out of time here. But before we go, tell people how they can listen to Front Lines of Freedom and also talk about your book on Amazon, Smiling Ranger.
Well, Front Lines of Freedom is the show that I host and Skip co-hosts with me. Frontlinesoffreedom.com is the website. Every show is available as a podcast there. You're welcome to listen at any time. The price is right. It's nothing. So frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a two-hour show once a week, plays on the weekends, and once it's played, it's available as a podcast. The book is called The Smiling Ranger. With Skip's help, I wrote it a year or so ago. I've never taken myself too seriously unless somebody's shooting at me, so it's basically a series of short, mostly funny stories of things that happened to me in uniform. Most story doesn't last as long as two pages, so you can pick it up and read for a little bit and put it down and pick it up again, because the stories are all their sequential time-wise. There's not a continuing theme. You don't have to pick up where you put it down. So they're mostly funny stories. They were fun living, fun writing. And it's all Skip's fault because he's the one that suggested that I write it.
Well, actually, it's what I like to call a toilet tank book. Two or three minutes, you can read one of the stories. And the Smiling Ranger is what happens when an Army guy and a Marine get together and write a book. So, but it's funny.
Very well put, amigo.
Oh, it's very entertaining. It's got some good structure to it, and I think people will enjoy it. So go to Amazon.com, do a search on Denny Gillum or The Smiling Ranger. It'll pop right up there. Highly recommend it. Denny, this has been a good time. I want to thank you for your service to our country and to West Michigan as well. Thank you very much, Denny.
It was a pleasure, Skip. Anytime.
Okay, folks, we got another two-minute break. Go to Amazon.com and search on The Smiling Ranger, Denny Gillum, and check out his book. Also, then go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and check out the other show that I do with Colonel Denny Gillum. It's an awesome military show, and you're going to love it. When we come back after a two-minute break, I'm going to tell you what I really think about Denny Gillum. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're going to love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Front Lines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Front Lines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Wow, that was a great interview with retired Army Ranger Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum. But now we've come to that part of the show where I tell you what I really think. So here she goes. I have known and been friends with Denny for over 20 years now. But I met him later in his life, after he was done with all the military heroics, the combat service, and after he'd already began his integration into civilian life. Oh, and by the way, no one who's ever spent a considerable part of their life in the military really ever totally integrates into civilian life. That's where that saying, once a Marine, always a Marine, comes from. And I know that it's the same way for Army Rangers. These guys are the tip of the spear, always ready to put their lives in danger at a moment's notice, simply because someone orders them to, and because they believe that America is worth fighting for. I don't care which end of the political spectrum you're on. You gotta respect that. And if you don't, then you're not being reasonable. Back in segment one, I shared with you how my wife Sarah was upset with me because she felt that I was encouraging my son to join the military. While that's not true, it's nothing that I would deny if it was. Here's what I told Sarah about that. Honey, I'm a Marine. You knew that when you married me. And our son sees that in everything that I do and say because it's a part of me. It's who I am, and I can't hide it, nor would I want to. If our son is viewing the military in a positive light, then it probably has something to do with how he sees his father. And I see that as a good thing. My son sees the Marine part of me, and he likes it. It excites him, and he respects who I am and how I act. But here's the potentially bad part. You can't be a good soldier, airman, Marine, or sailor without first being willing to lay down your life for your fellow man. And that's what my son is committed to at the tender age of 12 years old. I don't want my son to die, not for his country or for anything else. But you know what? We're all going to die. At the end of every show, I say these words. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. And I firmly believe in those words, even if it means my son joins the military and takes the same solemn oath that I once did to serve my country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I respect Denny Gillum because he once took that oath, but more than that, he also lived that oath. He has 2 Purple Hearts, a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, a Distinguished Flying Cross, and a bunch of other hardware to wear on his chest. And let me tell you something, folks, they don't give those medals away. You have to earn them with courage, valor, and commitment, even unto blood, and sometimes even unto death. So yes, if my son joins the military, I'll be one proud papa. And I know my wife will be just as proud. Are all wars just? No, of course not. Because politicians in large part decide when our military fights. But that just motivates me to get involved in the political process, however distasteful that it is, and make sure we elect men and women of honor and integrity. And in doing so, we can protect the lives of our children and grandchildren who serve America in our military. So, don't be afraid to raise your children as warriors, because quite frankly, America is in dire need of heroes right now. We don't need any more snowflakes. We don't need any more overweight video gamers. We don't need more leeches on society who make their living by collecting government benefits. We already have plenty of citizens like that, and I'm using the term citizen loosely here. I'm reminded of a phrase out of a rock song sung by the group Dire Straits, where the lead singer says, "Money for nothing and your chicks for free." America was not built on snowflakes who melt at the first sign of trouble or pressure. America was built on heroes who volunteer to fight and sometimes to die to defend the weak or to stand up for truth, justice, and the American way. And if that sounds corny to you, then you've never been a warrior. America doesn't need selfish snowflakes. She needs altruistic warriors like Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum, those who would stand shoulder to shoulder in time of need to protect the weak and defend the helpless. The core values of the U.S. Marines is this: honor, courage, and commitment. And the Marine Corps motto is Semper Fidelis, a Latin phrase meaning always faithful. America needs more brave Marines as well as more Army Rangers to lead the way. And that, folks, is what I really think. Well, folks, we are out of time. Next week, I am trying to get another one of those gubernatorial candidates, either Brian Kelly or Bill Schuette. No luck yet, but I will keep trying. If I can't get one of them, then trust me, I will have something really good for you. Well, okay, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!